Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, I greatly enjoyed the services this morning. I'm glad it was finally Alan's turn to do the second service. Find out what this is like, you know. What are you, you're preaching all my scriptures? Hallelujah. Well, go ahead and turn to Colossians. This book, I love all the books of the Bible. It's amazing, though, how some of them come alive at different stages in your life, you know. Like Colossians, I mean, I've read Colossians for years, but all of a sudden it's like, when did this book appear in my mind? The truths that are in here, and I guess it's that thing that Dave talks about, you know, he can't really put roofs on your building in your understanding until you get the walls erected to support the roof, you know. So maybe, I guess that's what's been going on, but all of a sudden this book is just amazing to me. And I'm not going to review as much as this morning, but we're still on the same subject, of course. And that's Christ in us, Christ in you. So let's look at the verse. Let's start off in Colossians chapter 1. And this time we'll just go to verse 26. The mystery which has been with the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, to get our thinking going a little more, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ means, it's the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word for Messiah, and it means the anointed one. Now, okay, he's already starting with the pictures, okay? In my meditations, I've been having some meditations. I've mentioned them a couple of times. I don't know how it works for you. I'm really a visual person. He teaches me a lot with pictures. And even now, ministering in a prayer line, most of the time it's pictures, and I have to almost pray for the interpretation. But as I've been going through this season, meditating these things, I begin to have meditations, thoughts, pictures that I'd never had before. And one of them I've already mentioned, but I got to do it again, because when he brings them up, my job's not to ignore them. One of them is when Jesus was praying in John 17. And we know the disciples were there. We know the disciples heard what he was praying because they recorded it for us. We have it. So, and in the meditation this time, you know, these are natural men. We got to remember they have not yet born again. They don't have a spirit of God within them yet so that they can be taught directly by the Holy Ghost. So these are natural men. Like Nicodemus was a natural man. He admired Jesus. He wanted to know truth, but he was a natural man. So in my meditations, they're obviously hearing this prayer. And they're listening, and Jesus is saying things like, Father, thou in me, however mysterious that is, you know, first, thou in me. But then I'm trying to pick, here's Peter over here praying, listening to Jesus praying. And then he hears Jesus say, and I in them. And I wonder if Peter cast an eye that way. Like, what? I wonder if he thought like Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus, how can a man when he's old enter again into his mother's womb? And Peter had to be thinking, and not just him, they had to be thinking, how can this man, I see him right there, how can this man be inside me? It is a mystery, hidden from the foundation of the world. Here's another one. The guy in Romans 7, and he's a type of all of us, really. Everybody who heard, when you're not born again and you receive God's law and you love God and you want to try and keep the law, and you set yourself to do it. You know, we're coming to the time of New Year's resolutions. Okay, I'm going to this and I'm going to that. And we all mean well, and we mean it when we say it, you know. That evil that I've been doing, I'm not going to do that anymore. And that good thing that I've always wanted to do, but I've never done, I'm going to do it. And then everybody's in repentance by the end of January, you know. But I was thinking about that guy. I'm meditating about him, you know. And, you know, he failed. And we can all relate with him. We all failed. And then suddenly, what if Jesus walked up and he says, what, do you notice I'm able to do it? I've noticed that. You don't ever sin. You never fall. You always do it exactly right. He said, I want to be able to do that. And Jesus says, he didn't really say this, but this is my meditation. He says to him, well, what if I could be on the inside of you? And I put the ability I'm using to do that, I moved inside of you. Do you think you could do it then? Well, yeah. I see you're able to do it. You mean you could somehow be in me? And however you're doing it now, you would do that same thing in me? That is the gospel. See, that's the mystery of Christ in us, our hope of glory. So going back now to Colossians. So anyway, meditations. I don't know what your meditations are like. These are some of the things that are going off on the inside of me. Images and pictures. And so I find myself in my own life, even though I have, I'm not as strongholdy as I used to be. I mean, everyone knows about the nicotine stronghold that came down, thank God. And it's been many, you know, it's been well over a decade now. Well over, thank God. And it's, I think that one's done. I haven't had a drink of alcohol since 1980. Pretty sure that's okay. But so there, and greed is not in my life like it once was. And there's so many strongholds, but I'd be lying if I said I'm not still dealing with some. See, what are they? They are exactly none yet, you know, I'm not asking about yours. So this process, I thank God again for the day that Sue and I walk through the doors of this church, because it's easy to get up and preach. You need to walk in more love. Anybody can preach that. I mean, thank you. I sat here for an hour and you told me I need to walk in more love. Thank you. I already gave in the offering. I'd want a refund otherwise, because I kind of knew that before I came and heard your sermon, you know. You need to have more faith. Thank you. I knew that before I got to your service, you know, but it wasn't until we, or how about this? You need to walk free of your strongholds. Thank you. I'm pretty sure I knew I didn't know the word for it, but I knew I had some, you know, and I'm the guy in Romans 7, even after I'm born again, I'm getting defeated still by a lot of these things. And I thank God for Pastor Dave, because it wasn't until we came here that anybody ever told me how. It was always sort of, you do it. Well, if man could do it, we didn't need Jesus to die on the cross. I mean, one of the main purposes of the law, not the whole purpose, but one of the main purposes of the law was to be the schoolmaster for mankind. You can't do this. There's something wrong with you at your core. You're flawed. We didn't know it really. You need more than a law. You need a Savior. That's the gospel. But this Savior didn't come to just save us from the penalty of sin. I grew up under that. They've got that part right. But He didn't want to just forgive us of sin and leave us the same mess that we were, powerless over it. He said, no, I'm going to give you my name. I'm going to adopt you in my family. I'm going to give you an inheritance. But beyond that, He says, I'm going to empower you by my grace. The Spirit that's in my Son. Let me say it this way. The life that's in my Son, that same life, I'm going to put in you. Now, if we have that same life, you tell me what's not possible now, see? All things are possible to him that believes. Now, this morning we jumped from Colossians 1:27, let's read it again, all the way to chapter 3. And it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Now, I like to say the anointed one in you, the hope of glory. And this morning, the emphasis was on our bodies, that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Literally, it says our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going to try and reteach that this morning, but this morning we jumped all to teach that. We have a responsibility. Our body belongs to the Lord. We've been looking at those scriptures. Just one. Here it says, 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. It's His body. Say, my body.
My body.
is the body of Christ. I am a member of Christ's body in particular. But see, he's made us steward over this body. And the analogy to me are the kings from the Old Testament. And especially after the division between the north, at first there was just Israel, but then it was divided into north, and a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was called Israel, the southern kingdom was called Judah. Got to remember, Jerusalem was in Judah, in the southern part, that's important. But then as you watch what would happen with that temple, there were some good kings, but many wicked kings. And those kings could make decisions that would affect what was in the temple. Some of them, one of them in particular, we'll get into details another time. He literally brought Baal worship. Can you imagine? The temple of Jehovah. He brought Baal worship. Let us worship Baal in the temple of Almighty God. And I did that for years. Watching things I shouldn't be watching. I'm understanding better how Paul writes to the Corinthians, you would take the members of Christ and join them with a harlot. I've never physically done that. But to say I haven't committed adultery with the world, I'd be lying. The things I have brought into the temple, through the eye gate, through the ear gate. Amen. Better amen, or I'm going to run. I'm the only one here still messing with his strongholds here, you know. Okay, good. I'm in the right place. So, really, just like the kings in the Old Testament, type and shadow, the temple is the type of the body. Our body is our bodies collectively are the temple of the Holy Ghost, okay? Well, the kings had authority over what was done there. We have authority over the temple of our body, and that's why this morning we jumped over to chapter 3. And he just, in verse 5, he plainly says, we read all these scriptures, we are the body of Christ. He doesn't have any body on earth but ours. So it's his body, right? But then you come to Colossians 3, verse 5. And then he says, mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth. Well, is it my members? Or is it his members? It's his members. From God's point of view, it is the body of Christ, but you're the king over the temple. And there's either going to be worship of the pure God in there, or there's going to be a mixture. What he's doing in this season, and he's been doing it for really a year, more than a year, he's removing the mixture. That our temple, individually and collectively, is purged. From the world and the affection for the world. Again, I want to quote Smith Wigglesworth. I like to read after men that made it. Okay? He says, the filthy flesh has to be dealt with, and many cannot stand the burnings. It's not easy dealing with the flesh. Jesus said, you got to put that flesh on the cross every day. The cross is not a pleasant thing. Amen? Flesh don't like it. So this morning we jumped all the way from Colossians chapter 1 to Colossians chapter 3. But tonight let's get a little bit in the middle, okay? So go to Colossians chapter 2. And there's so much here, but I just want to, we're going to look at one portion. Look at verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Okay. Receiving him is by faith. We know that. Really, walking in him is by faith, too, because you have to believe this gospel. You have to believe that it's Christ in you. But walking has more to do with action. Amen? Okay. Well, how do I walk in him? Well, first off, you've got to be rooted. Now, notice, built up in him. One day I was meditating that, and it just, like a bomb went off on the inside of me. Jude chapter 20. Beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith. praying in the Holy Ghost. And notice the next verse, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Thank God for Pastor Day. Thank God. Praying in tongues is one of the tools we have been given to become rooted and built up in Him. Boy, when I get home, I'm going to write in the margin. I'm going to put Jude 20 right there. See, again, you need to build yourself up in Him. Thank you. Thank you. I knew that. Can anyone tell me how? Jude 20. Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. So rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, my little almost 95-year-old mother told me as a little boy, I remember going to the Baptist church. But my mother, I've always admired her walk with the Lord. She told me as a little boy, I never forgot it. I was probably seven when I heard this. She said, thanksgiving is the root of holiness. Thanksgiving is the root of holiness. She used to teach me lessons like this, that when everything seems to be going wrong and you feel like grumbling and complaining, she said, get you a little sheet of paper, get something to write with, and start counting all your blessings. Name them one by one. She says, always start with breath, because you're alive and God gives you breath. Well, if you start with that, okay, I had breakfast, glory to God. You start making your list. And she says, pretty soon, you'll find yourself thanking God. And those troubles that seem so rough, so difficult, she said, it won't be that way anymore. Your heart will literally change. And if you're thankful towards God, she said, it's hard to sin against God. That's my pretty good preaching, huh? I'll be 69 next month. I was about 7 then. It'll still preach today. But isn't that interesting? Abounding therein with thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. So much. And even when, doesn't mean bad things don't happen. Of course bad things happen. But in the midst of it, Paul writing from prison, if we went to his letter to the Philippians, whatever's lovely, whatever's true, whatever's of a good report, whatever, all of those good things. And it's like a command. Think, force yourself. Think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And I always I'd like to write right there if words mean anything. And if you don't, that peace won't be with you. See? But sometimes you got to force yourself. Get out your sheet of paper. Get a pen, pencil. I have breath. I'm still breathing. Had breakfast this morning. Got a granddaughter that loves me. You know, I mean, you could just go on and on and on, whatever it is, you know. Okay. We still haven't got to the part here in Colossians 2. But rooted and built up in Him. And I like the personal pronoun, in Him. I was, like I told you, I've been doing a little more research in the Old Testament. I do love the Old Testament. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived before Christ. He was the wisest man. Kings and queens would come from other places just to listen, just to sit and hear the wisdom that came out of this man's mouth. And he started off right. He started off with a good heart towards God. And he wasn't after fame and fortune. He wasn't after money. He wanted God's wisdom on how to be king righteously over Israel. But you can watch it. Just read it. And you watch the slow corruption, the slow descent that riches and wealth and power and esteem of man and all of those things normally produce. And little by little, you start seeing things, him doing things that are direct violations of what God said do. He marries pagan wives. It's not that interracial marriage is bad. He wanted them not to worship any other gods. And he knows if they marry these people from other nations, they would have him seeking other gods. And the Bible plainly says that's what happens. He actually set up a worship of... See, and this is why I need my notes on this stuff. And it was a female god, Asterius, I think is her name. I'm not sure. I could be wrong about that. So don't write me any letters, but you go read it yourself. He did. He set up... Some of his wives convinced him. And, of course, eventually you can't blame them. It's his heart that turned because he disobeyed. And he actually set up worship of another deity besides Jehovah. To the point, near the end, God says... He was so upset, he says, if it wasn't for your daddy, David, I would take the kingdom away from you. See? So you see this slow descent. Yet, the statement I'm about to make, every time I say it, I see Dave's parable of nerd boy and nerd girl. See, Solomon had knowledge. He had wisdom. That just superseded anybody. And he got it, a lot of it, from God. I mean, he had, and it's not just revelation knowledge. He had natural wisdom about gardening and all kinds of things. But what's getting me is like Dave's parable. See, even in Solomon's life, knowledge alone is not enough. Praying in tongues is a great tool, and it's the one, I'll admit my own fault again, it is the one, that in meditation of the Word is the one that I have so given myself to, and not so much to fasting, obviously, and worship. And I'm finding that that is a terrible mistake. Because I'm seeing it so clear. You know, Dave, when he does his parable, I'll shorten it for time, you know, but nerd boy, nerd boy. It's like praying in tongues. When I found out I could get revelation knowledge praying in tongues, I'm the guy, you know. Knowledge, knowledge, and I'm typing away, knowledge, you know. The Holy Ghost will teach me, I can have knowledge. I think Dave made that parable just for Gary. But anyway, knowledge, you know. And then all of a sudden one day, nerd girl walks by. Little nerd girl with a pencil pack and a poodle skirt and a sock, one sock with a gold rim, one sock without a gold rim, with Coke bottle glasses, with her green drink. And she walks by and, knowledge, knowledge, and he just kind of glances that way as she walks by and, what? He walks over to the door where she's walking down the hallway. He looks. You know, and she's doing the same thing. Knowledge. Knowledge. You know how Dave does it. You know? But he looks, and suddenly, Cupid, draw back your bow. Shoo! Right. And the point of the parable, from that day forward, knowledge was not enough. He had to be in the presence of his sweetie pie. Now, that really, right in this season, for me, is a real lesson right now. And even though my default, if I'm not careful, I just automatically start praying in tongues and meditating the Word. That's my life. Has been. And it's not ruined. Oh, thank God for it. Amen? But he's telling me Solomon is a perfect example. Knowledge is not enough. You've got to spend time in the presence of God yourself, or that relationship will grow cold again. He's preaching now. We've left my stuff a long time ago. So right there, I'm hearing out of Revelations 2 and 3. Wasn't it the Laodicean church where he said, you need to return to your first love? One of them there. I didn't know I was going to say any of this. And he really had some good things to say about that church. They had good things going for them. It's not everything. But he says, my counsel, you need to return to your first love. Well, in my case, I remember Sue and I were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost 12 years before we ever heard this message. We could shandai with the best of them, but we never did shandai because we didn't know there was any reason to shandai. You understand what I mean by that? We just didn't make any... The only time that I did anything serious about praying in tongues was Michael Muccio would make me come on you know, if we went to the prisons on Thursday night, he'd make me come on Tuesday night just to pray in tongues. He had to watch me. He's like Reagan, trust, but verify. And watch me with pray in his, you know, for 2 hours, which that sounded so easy until I went over there to do it. But that was the only time, thank God for those 2 hours, you know. But see, I only did that with him for about 2 years, and then he got married and moved to Illinois. And he wasn't here, and so guess what? Well, the 2 hours dropped off, of course. But I got to say this, my relationship with the Lord during those first 12 years, everything we did was, I won't say it was led by the Holy Spirit. It was mostly our own mind. But I got to tell you, I think he received it because the heart was sure there. This old boy knew he was going to hell. When I found out there was a Savior that died to keep me from going, and my heart was his, and it's still his 30-some-odd years later. But when I compare my heart with... Now, knowledge does not compare now. What I know now, the knowledge that I have supersedes what I had then. But if I'm going to be honest, my heart love, it's still there, you could tell. But it's not the same. And I think he's showing me this about Solomon. I don't want to become another one. I don't want to become another one who, even with Solomon, with knowledge like no man ever had, still fell. To the point God says, I'd take the kingdom away from you. That's pretty bad. And then right after his reign, then the kingdom is divided, which shows you what was in his heart was really manifested in the kingdom. And the northern kingdom never really did come back. Anyway, I've been meditating. Okay, back to chapter 2. I can't help it if he takes us on these trails. I've learned a long time ago not to ignore those things when he brings them up. So Colossians chapter 2 again. I still haven't got to the verse that I'm after. So verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, now notice, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let's stop and think about him as we see him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many times did he say, it's the Father in me. It's the Father in me. He doeth the works. Yet we know when he would pray, he would look up to heaven, knowing that if there is such a thing as physically with the Father is in heaven, right? But he said, it's the Father in me. He doeth the works. Yet we also know it was the Holy Spirit that baptized his spirit on the day he was baptized by John in the River Jordan. So what I'm saying is this, as we look at Jesus walking through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we see, wouldn't you say that all the Godhead dwelt in him bodily? All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him. This mystery, see, this is the same book Paul just got through saying in chapter 1, that same Christ that has all the fullness, the one you remember, to them he'd say the ones that you've heard about in Jerusalem, to us, we'd say the one that we see walking through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that same Christ, where you look at him and you know, now the Father's in him. Holy Ghost is in him. I mean, all the fullness of God dwells in this man bodily. And then he turns around and he said, that same one is in you now. That's what he's trying to get across to us. That's what he's trying to get across to us, that same one. Look at it. He says, religion tries to get you off into philosophy and traditions. You know, the Pharisees, well, we wash the cups this way and we do that way. And he says, that's not what's important. What's important is that Christ be in you. And listen, if he's in you and you're in him, listen, in him dwelleth all the fullness of God bodily. And you, your part of the body, is complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. One time when he was teaching me along this line, this literally happened. I was praying at the, this was a long time ago, in a galaxy far away. No, that's another, I haven't seen it yet. I was praying at the Ugly Building. I was just praying. And I had a schedule. And it was okay. He had told me to make a schedule of prayer because he didn't want me praying less than I was in the truck. So I had a regimen, you know. And I'm a pretty disciplined fella. And I'd get over there at the right time. And it was before dawn. And I'd get in my hours, you know. And I knew it. And it was okay to stay longer. But I didn't want to let myself leave before the minimum time on that schedule. If it was from 5 in the morning till 11 in the morning or whatever time it was. You know, one time I was praying over there. Now, I don't remember exactly what it was he said. It was too long ago. Give me a little break. But now, the lesson from this is accurate. It was something like, I don't remember now, something like, take $20 over to so-and-so. Something along that line. And I just said it out of my mouth. I mean, I heard it as clear as you're hearing my voice. I said it. I sure will right after I get through praying. And his voice comes back, and it's like, I need you to do it now. There's a reason why I'm asking you to do it. I need you to do it now. Oh! And the reality of this living Christ. See, even then it began. Oh, he's alive. That's the message. Christ is alive and well. He has not yielded his lordship of the church. He is our head. We're to hold fast to him. Not philosophy, not rules and regulations, although fine, you know, but you have a nature for that now. You just follow that nature, you'll be fine, okay? But he is the head. He is the one. So, and again, for time's sake, now, he's still talking about, come on down to verse 16 of chapter 2. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Now, in that time period, who would be doing that? That's the Judaizers. They would follow behind wherever Paul would go and preach the gospel and get these Gentiles saved. And then sometime later they would come and they'd say, well, it's fine. We're not denying Christ, but you, in order to be perfect or mature, you got to keep the law. And they'd start telling them about all these things. No wonder they hated Paul. Paul says, don't let any man judge you. Don't let anyone judge you in your meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day. Or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow. All of those things are just types and shadows of things to come. But now here we go. But the body is of Christ. The analogy could not be more perfect. We all live in a body. We all, my body is subject to one head. My body listens to Gary. Amen? And if it doesn't, then there is dis-ease in the body. See? You know, if I'm sending a signal to my... Now, I do know what it is. I was paralyzed for 6 months at 5 years old. I had polio, and I know what it is. I was have to check to see which side. It was on my right side. I have a muscle that's atrophied that I don't have on the right side, right near my knee. And there's nothing I can do to develop it. Anyway, that's another story. I've tried. But during that time period, I was so paralyzed, I couldn't open or close my eyelid. Now, that's pretty paralyzed. At night, the nurse would come and put my eyelid down. And then I couldn't open it. They'd have to open it, you know. I know what it is to send signals, like what Alan's going through to a degree. I know what it is for your brain to send signals to the hand and say, raise. and won't do it. It just well, there's a disconnect. Do you know that's the body of Christ at large? The head, it's not the fault of the head. The head is sending the signals. But we're so busy with everything, not Mark 4 stuff, you know, cares of this world stuff, just not unrighteous stuff, but just busy stuff. And then if you're not careful, you get into all kinds of religious stuff. And the head is going, I need you to take $20 to so-and-so. Well, I will right after this worship service. I will right after this or that. And it's no different. What if my hand treated me that way? You know? Now, this would be a horrible. This would be, by the picture, I can't help it. I just go by what I see. I'm sitting at KFC. Durst thou not know that I lovest the original chicken with 11 herbs and spices. Crispy either way. I'll take it either way. I love them both. Mashed potatoes and that gravy that they have. I love the coleslaw. I love everything, you know. So I'm sitting there and they have brought the meal and I can see the steam rising in it. And I haven't eaten in like 20 minutes. So I don't want to break the pulpit again. I haven't eaten. It's been a whole 20 minutes. I mean, I'm starving to death. And I send signals to my right hand. Thou shalt grabbest the drumstick. Thou shalt bring it towards my choppers. Horror of horrors. It says no. Or it says, no, I'm playing a game on my phone right now. Or so anything, what, my body, how am I going to eat the chicken? How is my work going to be done if my body will not listen to the head? And there is the church. There is the church. The Father is in us. We got to get over it. He is in you. If Christ is in you, He is in you. Father, Thou in me, and I in them. We have the power plant, if you'll allow me. Now, again, as I said that, I saw the portal. See, I used to say it that way, the power plant is in you, and it's not totally wrong. But the power is God. There is no power but of God. The power is God. And that spirit where we are joined, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. It's one spirit. I mean, really one spirit. That's why Dave... It took me forever to understand why Dave harped so long on Romans 8:11 that's not the Holy Ghost. No, it's that same life that quickened Jesus from death to life is the very same life that quickened you from death to life. And that's why if that's happened and you're joined to the Lord, it is one spirit. It is one life. It's not two separate things. It's one. And it's like a portal from the realm where God lives, whatever that is, heaven, to the realm, the natural realm where we live. And if that's the case, if it's God doing the works, like Jesus said, if it's the Father doing the works, we just need to be the vessel through whom He can reach. And the only thing preventing that is unbelief. Here we're coming into fasting season. You know we are. Eat well, my friends. Why couldn't we cast it out? Why couldn't we cast it out? The father brought his epileptic boy, whatever it was, some kind of seizures, you know. Prayed. I'm sure they prayed. They shouted. They commanded. They did everything they'd done before and seen results. But this time, they couldn't get the boy free. I'm so glad the story didn't end there. Because if it did end right there, then we might have justification for that doctrine that says it's just not always His will to heal. But thank God it doesn't end there. They brought that boy. Jesus says, you bring him here to me. I'll show you the will of God. And in short order, he's free. And the disciples are going, why could we not cast it out? Or I like how Dave said it. Why didn't it happen when we prayed? Do you ever, I have prayed that prayer. I can't even tell you a number of times. Why didn't it happen when we prayed? And Jesus, you know what he said? Well, it's just not always God's will to heal. Is that what he said? Maybe he said, well, it's not the timing of God. This is Tuesday. Bring the boy back on Thursday. Did he say anything like that? See, that's all man-made gibberish. That's just nonsense gone to seed. That's just the natural mind, you know. Jesus only laid it to one thing. Because of your unbelief. Thank God. So, he could have ended his sermon right there and we go, Gary, you need to get rid of your unbelief. And that wouldn't help me. Thank God he didn't end there either. This kind, and it has to be this kind of unbelief. He didn't say it was because it was a big bad devil. He said the problem was the unbelief, not the devil. Well, this kind of what? This kind of unbelief. It comes out by prayer and by fasting. I do thank God for this church that still is preaching the truth of the word, not compromising because it's not, quote, politically correct, not compromising because, well, people won't come if you preach the truth. I don't care. They'll come when they see the blind seeing and the lame walking, the deaf hearing the same signs that brought them when Jesus walked the earth. He didn't have to compromise his message to draw multitudes. We're not going to compromise our message. And as the Father more and more is able to do the same works, you watch, the multitudes will come. Dave is not wrong when he says, you better enjoy your seat now. Better enjoy having a nice seat, you know. Pretty soon it may be standing room only. Well, the revival will be such, you'll be saying, don't we have a cot somewhere that I could just lay down for 20 minutes? You know? No, here's three more blind children. Pray, you know. I'm looking forward to that. Did y'all get anything out of that? Christ is the head. The fullness of God dwells in him bodily. Hello, body. The scripture says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of God bodily. Say it this way. I am in him. In him lives all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I am his body. All the fullness of the Godhead is in me. The Father in him. Him in me. I am the temple of God. Hallelujah. Is that good stuff?